Before leaving behind etymologies and the origins of words, I would like to address the popular idea that the name of Jesus is pagan. This accusation is not only incredibly grievous, but it is entirely false. Jesus is an English transliteration of a Greek transliteration of his Hebrew name, Yeshua. Yeshua is a short form of the common Hebrew name Yehoshua, which we pronounce in English as Joshua. So why do we call him Jesus in English? When the name Yeshua is translated into the Greek language, the closest phonetic approximation is Iesus. 200 years or more before his birth, the translators of the Septuagint, a Greek version of the Hebrew Bible, were already translating the biblical Hebrew names Yehoshua and Yeshua as Iesus. The us ending on a Greek name indicates a masculine subject. Without that ending, the name Yeshua would sound like a girl's name in Greek. Further phonetic changes occurred as the church translated the Greek to Latin and the Latin to English. The name finally ended up as Jesus. The claims that somehow Iesus is linked to the Greek god Zeus are therefore rubbish, and the same can be said for the claims that somehow Christ is pagan as well. Christ, of course, is not Yeshua's last name, but rather the English equivalent to the Hebrew Mashiach. Mashiach means Messiah, and is one of the exalted titles that Yeshua is given. Our English word Messiah actually comes right from the Hebrew Mashiach. Christ comes from the Greek Christos, which means anointed, or to be used as ointment. In Hebrew, Mashiach is literally one who is anointed, so the Greek Christos is the closest Greek equivalent there was to Mashiach, and it is so translated as well in the Septuagint. The kings of Israel were anointed with oil. To say that Yeshua is the Christ, the anointed one, simply means that he is the promised king. Once again, we need to get the full story and not just assume something because two words sound alike. For a more detailed presentation on the derivation of the name Jesus, please see First Fruits of Zion's book, Hallowed Be Your Name. Besides words, people often get hung up on various symbols as being pagan. In the Hebrew Roots movement, we hear paganoia about the Star of David, the cross, and the Christian fish. It should be mentioned that a few years back, a supposed messianic seal was found on various archaeological artifacts that were said to date back to the earliest Jewish believers. The symbol was a combination of the menorah, the Star of David, and the Christian fish, which sometimes contained a cross-like looking symbol in the middle of it. Upon further examination, it was deemed that these claims were false, and that the symbol is most probably a forgery. Nevertheless, it was interesting to see these symbols put together as one seal. Many modern symbols of various religions and groups are merely geometric designs that were used in every ancient culture. For example, take the Star of David, which is essentially a hexagram, the compound of two equilateral triangles. The earliest archaeological evidence of Jewish usage of this symbol is on the remains of the 2nd to 3rd century synagogue in Capernaum. The symbol appears in conjunction with a pentagram and a swastika. That's right, a swastika. Today, the symbol of the swastika has become one of the most anti-Semitic symbols that you can think of. But yet those Jews of the Capernaum synagogue in the 2nd century thought of it as little more than an ornamental decoration. In fact, most scholars speculate that the Star of David on the Capernaum synagogue had no religious associations. And it was really not until the 13th or 14th century that the Star of David became associated with Judaism, and then it was only in Europe. Has the Star of David been used by pagans and Freemasons, as critics claim? Yes, but they have used many other symbols as well. To put this all in perspective, it is not as though Hasatan and his legions are hiding behind these triangles. Rather, symbols are shapes that were used by all cultures for a variety of reasons, from religious to artistic, and what should matter most is what their associations are today. For example, it would be absurd to try and resurrect the swastika as a Jewish symbol because it was found on the ancient synagogue, when today it is associated almost worldwide with the utmost hatred for the Jewish people. We could argue that originally it didn't represent anti-Semitism, but what matters is what it means today. The Star of David is a worldwide symbol of the Jewish people that finds its most prominent place on the flag of the modern state of Israel. In short, it is not a pagan symbol, not any more than a circle, a triangle, a rectangle, or any other geometric design. The cross is one of the most ancient human symbols, and it was also used by various cultures and religions. It is just about the simplest combination of two lines possible, and hence it was very popular for decoration. For example, a well-known form of it can be found in the ansated cross of ancient Egypt, which is associated with the goddess Sekhet. It appears to have become associated with Christianity as early as the 2nd century CE, as is evidenced in writings such as the Epistle of Barnabas and the Apostolic Constitutions. In fact, it is so well known that Tertullian and other church fathers find themselves pressed to defend themselves against the notion that they are worshipers of the cross. Because the death of Messiah is so central to the Christian faith, the cross becomes a natural choice for a symbol. And while some have argued that the Master was not crucified on a cross, but rather a stake, archaeological records for Roman executions of the period prove otherwise. Indeed, today, when one sees a cross, Christian associations immediately come to mind. While it is once again a complete fallacy to declare the cross as a pagan symbol, it should be noted that Jewish people are often leery of the cross, not only for its associations with Yeshua, but unfortunately because it has become a symbol throughout history of Christian persecution of the Jewish people. Thus, believers should approach this issue with sensitivity and compassion. The last symbol we will examine is the Christian fish, otherwise known as ichthus. Ichthus is the Greek word for fish and is said to have been used in the early church as an acrostic for Jesus Christ, God's Son, Savior. It already appears in conjunction with Christianity in the artwork of mid-3rd century catacombs of Rome, and quite possibly it was used earlier as well. According to the popular Christian tradition, the symbol was a means whereby two Christians could identify one another during a time of heavy persecution from the Romans. As two strangers met, one would make an arc in the dirt forming one half of the fish. If the other completed the symbol, they recognized each other as Christians. Like the cross, the fish is a logical fit for a symbol of Christianity. Many of the earliest disciples were fishermen. There are also many fish stories in the Gospels, such as the feeding of the 5,000 and the story of the miraculous catch of fish. And we have the Master's words to the disciples that they will be fishers of men. There are some scholars that even believe it was used by Judaism before the time of Yeshua and then was subsequently adopted by believers. Gedaliahu Stromza feels that it is related to Yehoshua ben Nun, Joshua son of Nun. There is a close semantic proximity between Joshua and Yeshua. Yeshua is the shortened Aramaic version of the Hebrew word Yehoshua. Add on to that that in Aramaic the word Nun means fish, and you have the associations of both Joshua and Yeshua with a fish. The Midrash Rabbah reads, "And the son of him, whose name was as the name of a fish, would lead them into the land." Nun, his son, Joshua, his son. Therefore, in light of the background of the legends that associated Joshua with a fish, Stromsa believes it would be natural for Yeshua to be associated with a fish symbol as well. Admittingly, we do find the fish symbol used in other religions as well. I'll quote Messiah Magazine, number 82. "The same fish symbol does find older attestation in other religions, though. It was a popular sexuality symbol in common use with several ancient fertility cults in the Roman era. In fact, the two-arced fish and several other fish-related icons were often employed as feminine and fertility symbols throughout the ancient world. Detractors of Christianity predictably point to the early Christian use of the pagan fertility icon as evidence of Christianity's association with ancient paganism. But this is an unnecessary conclusion with some ugly inferences. Rather, the two-arced fish was an easy symbol to draw and was evocative of the numerous stories of fish and fishermen found in the gospel. Once again, we have to be careful about making the assumption that if other cultures and religions used the symbol of a fish that existed before Christianity, then Christianity took it from them, and thus it is idolatrous. The fish, like the cross and the Star of David, is a popular symbol that has been used in art and religion throughout history. The symbol itself is not pagan. It's merely a combination of two lines, but what matters are the associations that go with it today. Nowadays, when one sees a Christian fish, what comes to mind is not pagan fertility gods, but rather Christianity. That is the association it has. Probably the only thing that we should be careful about is affixing a Christian fish to the back of our car to represent our faith when our style of driving does not mirror that faith.